The fall's most kick-ass new drama is about to kick off. Wednesday, October 10th, the highly anticipated new series All-American premieres on the CW. Greg Berlanti, producer of mega hits like Riverdale and Black Lightning, is behind this one, so you know it's going to be your new obsession for the fall. Inspired by a true story, All-American is about Spencer James, a crazy talented high school football player from the inner city who gets recruited to play in Beverly Hills. In what's sure to be his breakout role, up and comer Daniel Ezra shows major chops playing LA-born and raised Spencer James, especially considering Daniel is a Brit. The always amazing Taye Diggs crushes it as Beverly High coach Billy Baker. The entire cast is smoking hot and ridiculously sexy. It's action-packed on every level. Sports drama, crime drama, high school drama, love drama, family drama, All-Americans bringing all the drama. Catch the series premiere of All-American Wednesday, October 10th on the CW.
Josh.
Wiggle Room is back, baby.
Let's do this.
Yes. Josh, I am so excited to talk to you once again about this week's episode of Survivor, which was had a great title. This is episode...
The chicken has flown the coop.
Damn!
Damn!
Damn! I have been waiting an honest week for that to happen. Among the many reasons why that line was so great, it's that we now get to litter this podcast with the expletive, damn! Thank you, Christian. I'd like to think that that was just for us. You know, we know Christian is an RHAP guy, big Survivor nerd. Got to imagine that he's aiming for the damn call out. Loved the evolution of strategy. He knows what's up.
Steve Morris has flown the coop.
I like that you've also given him like this Captain Kirk voice.
Yeah.
I think your Christian impression is going to require some work. I think it doesn't quite have it. There's a little bit of a speed to it that you haven't quite mastered yet. I think it's a little bit too slow is what you're going with. Your
it's
Christian
not
impression.
Hyper frenetic enough.
Yeah. It needs to be a little more hyper frenetic like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You also have to like add like a little bit of like a like an impish grin at the end, and your eyes need to widen just a little bit, and you need to have this look of pure wonderment on your face at all times.
Yeah, it works better on the know-it-alls when you can see the mannerisms that I'm doing.
It was fine on Wednesday night.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm saying, but you're missing so much of it right now.
Okay, all right.
Because we're audio only.
I'm looking forward to it on Wednesday's live show. That'll be great. That'll be very, very, very good. How are you doing, Rob? Everything's good. Everything's great. Everything's grand. Starting to get over the jet lag.
Doing okay. I feel like that today, Monday, is like my first normal day back. My kids are back at school. Like I have I can just worry about the podcast for about the first time in about 4 weeks. So this is very good feeling to be back at work, in the dojo.
So not Garfield-esque. You're feeling like Monday is okay today.
I have been long on record as I love Mondays. The
You're
weekends
a big
I don't
Monday
like.
Guy. Yeah, you are such a freak. Oh my God, the freakiest freak.
Yeah, I don't like the weekends. Oh,
hater.
This is my time during the week. This is when I get to talk about the things that I like with the listeners of the podcast. I get to talk to Josh Wiggler. There's no hey,
you
gotta
talk to me on the weekends. You've got my number. I would pick up.
Well, we're having fun now.
I'm going
to
say
back. We're back to business. We're having fun. And it's the stuff on the weekend of like, hey, do this, do the work on this. You need to go here. So that's what I don't like. But enough about me, Josh. It was great to see you in person at this season's Live Know-It-Alls.
It was a blast. That was a very fun night. Very fun evening. It's just so many different survivors were out in full force. It was great to see the Dom and Wendell show. Very kind of Wendell to take a stop on his tour at the Live Know-It-Alls, as Dom said. I thought that was very funny. Got to hang out a little bit with our man Stephen Fish. He and I sat together with Mixmaster Mike Bloom during the screening of the episode. Eliza on Great Behavior. I didn't hear her saying anything. I was like only like four rows in front of her, so it was all fantastic. fantastic. I can't even. You got Wanda out to the Life Know-It-Alls this year. That was intense.
Yeah,
exciting.
I blindsided you very late in the game of that. I had spent the day with Brett LaBelle, and we were working on what we were going to do. He always wants to come out and sing the anthem, and just inside Schmergen Brawl that I was going to originally, I was going to perform the Know-It-Alls instrumental via mouth trumpet. And I was like, but this is complicated. It's a hard song to do that with. I was struggling with it. And then am I running on and then saying so? But then I was inspired by, you know what? What if Josh Wiggler could sing the Wandas of the Survivor Know-It-Alls?
Yeah. And it was amazing because I've lightly tweeted about this. I haven't talked about it too much just because I really don't know what to say yet or if ever, but I've been dealing with like intense issues of anxiety recently, and I was starting to feel very, very anxious heading up to the Live Know-It-Alls, which is always an incredible event, but I'm just like a total nobody every single day of the year until one of these events where it's very kind that there are a lot of people who know who I am and want to talk, but it's just not my normal speed. So I was very nervous and feeling like a little shy heading into the room, and just like my heart racing a little bit. Mike Bloom was really calming me down. He was acting as my on-site therapist. And then you sprung this on me, and I was like, oh God. Oh,
I didn't know that that was going to create a problem.
I was like, I can't say no. I have to do it. And what it ended up
you
being
could say
was,
no.
No, what it ended up being was it ended up like really like catalyzing some courage within me and being like, you know what? You got to do the wah-wahs. You got to get up there. You got to do the wah-wahs. You got to face your fears, and you got to belt it out. And we did it. And Jacob Derwin showed up, and he had the guitar, and it was fantastic. And I got up there with him and Brett, and we rocked it out. And it just felt fantastic. The chicken had flown the coop, damn, and it was a delight. So I actually am thankful to you for putting me on the spot. You had no idea that I'd been feeling that way.
Yeah.
And it ended up being like a totally tremendously wonderful, delightful thing. So you actually helped me out quite a bit. I was really, really happy to do it, and I'm really happy that it happened.
Yeah, well, you did a great job up there, and I was very impressed. And you were really like holding court for, we were trying to get the stream started and get everything set up. And you did a couple minutes of crowd work up there.
we had a good time. Brett's incredible. Brett Brett should get into stand up. He's just his stage presence is phenomenal. But no, it was a really great time. It reminded me of I've told you about the acoustic rock comedy duo that I was in Syracuse University, right?
Remind me the name of it.
Gefilte Fish. Gefilte Fish was the name of our band, and we would like go up and we would perform covers of songs that you would never expect to hear. Our best set list ever was the Jurassic Park theme song into Killer Tofu from Doug, into The Stars Are Blind by Paris Hilton, into the DuckTales theme song. That was our best show of all time. This really reminded me a lot of the good old Gefilte Fish days. So thank you for allowing me to relive my glory.
Yeah, and thank you that we had reached out to Jacob Derwin, and we'd asked him to do it. And then, doubting Derwin, he sort of was like non-committal about it. And honestly, we didn't know if he was going to bring the guitar or not. And he had told Brett he didn't think he'd be able to pull it off. So we just kind of felt like that he was not going to do it. But then ultimately, he gave it the old college try as well. So what a trio.
And what do you think? Do you think in the end, like, he is glad to have done that the way that I'm glad to have stood up and done the wah-wahs? Or do you think that Jacob Derwin was kicking himself for getting involved in this, considering the absolute dragging that he embarked upon?
I think he had a good time. I think
ridiculous.
He did, because I'm friends with him on social media. I saw him share the links to the show and told people to look at it. So I thought that he did have a great time.
He was hysterical.
Yeah.
He was hysterical. I thought that he was the highlight of the night when he was like, what is hope?
Yeah, he was good. He was good. And then I had a crazy contestant experience coming back 26. From the Live Know-It-Alls that Nicole and I were in the airport. We ran into Dominic and Kristen Abate in
Whoa.
The JetBlue terminal.
Yeah. You guys are soulmates, I think, is what's going on. I think that
me and Nicole.
Yeah, well, you and Nicole for sure, but I think just like the twosomes here of Robin, Nicole, and Dominic and Kristen Abate. I feel like this is going to be a true lifelong friendship. This is the origin story of like some of these people who are just going to be with you forever. I feel modestly threatened by friendship to be completely honest. I haven't really felt threatened by any of your friendships with anybody before, except
because I have so
one.
Many.
You do. You have more than you think. But I'm not like I'm never really nervous about like your dynamic duos with anybody else. I feel pretty sturdy and solid in what you and I have, but I'm not going to be able to compete with Dominic. There's really no chance. So I'm going to enjoy these years that you and I have had and however long we have left.
Okay. You're being very Jacob Derwin-y right now.
I am more concerned about Dominic taking over the Wiggle Room than Mike taking over the Wiggle Room.
Mike Bloom?
Or my father, no. Or Mike White. With his stupid fedora, Chaos Cast identified.
Okay,
shout out to Chaos Cast. I'm glad she's doing better.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into the episode before we get too many more angry comments and tweets. So we had this episode from the other night. Jessica was the person to go home. Josh, did you have any strong feelings one way or the other about Jessica Pete coming out of First One Out?
No, I think that, I loved this cast. I've said it before. I really loved this cast. And I thought that, everybody was interesting in their own right. Everybody had a story to tell in their own right. And either they were going to be compelling characters, I figured, or some of them who were maybe not as compelling in that arena, I thought could be very strong players. I think that Jessica like registered a little bit on the low end in terms of the 20 people who were out there for me. Perfectly nice, super, super nice, really, really easy to talk to and have a conversation with. And I felt like she would do really well during the season. And then I saw how the tribes broke down. And like everybody who loved Jessica and everybody that she really wanted to play with, for the most part, ended up on Goliath. And I really didn't like her tribe draw. And I didn't think that was a great break for her. I didn't think that she would go as early as she ended up going. But I think that given the situation that emerged over the course of, the afternoon of day six, I think that what ended up happening to Jessica from the perspective of the people who voted for her, I think was, as others have said on this podcast already in the past week, a slam dunk easy decision. I think that was a absolutely the right person to unplug from the game. And for reasons that, the whole I was voted out because I was a threat thing is, kind of overdone. But I think that was a very legitimate reason to get Jessica out here. Not only somebody who is gluing people like Carl and B together on this tribe and really solidifying some power that way, but really, as you and Eric got into on the voicemails, I think somebody who could have gone to a lot of those people on Goliath in the event of a tribe swap and really done some damage. So I think getting rid of Jessica here now made a ton of sense. Not somebody who I would have expected to go home this early, but given what ended up happening, makes a whole load of sense to me.
Now, Josh, I had seen some requests that people wanted to get some sort of a reaction from the live know-it-alls, because you get, 400 some odd people together and to watch an episode, you can sort of tell a few things. And so I did record the reaction of the audience watching this just to give.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, just to give the sense of what this looks like. This is, a big theater. We're watching the episode on a, a giant screen like a movie theater. And then we come on and we do the podcast right after. And so I was in the back of the room. And so this was the reaction that I recorded with my phone during the reading of the votes. We're going to come in like it's a lot of votes. So we're going to come in about, halfway through.
Jessica, that's 4 votes, Lyrsa. 3 votes, Jessica. Jessica. 4 votes, Jessica. 1 vote left.
They laughed at Christian's face.
Second person voted on a David versus Goliath.
So a pretty big pop from the room in terms of the vote. I think that was more pro Blindside and maybe pro Lyrsa than I think it was anti Jess, but a big ovation for the vote on Wednesday night.
Cut to Jessica Pete listening to this episode of The Wiggle Room on her way to work, pulls her car over. The Lonely Man theme from Hulk plays as a single tear falls down her cheek. Wah, 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 wah.
Probably
wah,
not listening.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah,
You know, in fairness, I said this on one of the podcasts, I think with Cass, that they really only showed us, the audience, you know, one way to feel about this. I mean, we did not get the perspective of the, you know, pro-Jessica, anti-Lyrsa group.
No, but I think that that's because that crew felt they had this locked down. They felt like this was an easy vote. I don't think that there is a single moment in any of this until it's too late that Jessica is feeling nervous for herself. And I think that that's very bad on her. I think that the way that she and B played to Gabby was really, really bad, and hopefully a cautionary tale for future survivors. Any new players in the future who may or may not have been watching that episode and are going to be going out there at some point in the future, you really got to talk through the plan. You can't just say, like, yeah, this is happening and that's it. Like, no one, that's just not comforting. You know, it doesn't comfort people. And for me, you know, I think a lot of people were surprised to see Gabby being so emotional. Talking to me and first went out, she was really, really nervous about the prospect of being the first one out. I think this is something that Mike and Liana and Antonio talked about a bit in the B&B this week, of this idea that, like, whoever's getting voted out at this vote is the first one voted out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, not the first person eliminated, but this is the first tribal council victim. And I think that tensions are so high, emotions are so high. And I think it was just a very bad job on managing Gabby by the Jessica B. Carl group. There was just really no effort towards that at all. And I think that that translates to what we end up seeing. There's just really no story to show on their side of things. But yeah, I think it's a pro blind side pop. I don't think that it's an anti Jessica.
Will you be driving out to Jessica Pete's house to get her take on everything going on?
Nope.
Oh, a preemptive eulogy.
With all due respect, first one out is over for the season, so that'll be that.
A glimpse into the evolution strategy, chapter 37, perhaps.
Yeah, at this point, if only because now it's going to call back to this moment in the wiggle room, and we have to close these time travel loops wherever we can.
Okay, so meta. All right, Josh. You had a very interesting article that was posted earlier today on Monday, where you did something that I don't believe that you have done before in your history of reporting on Survivor.
This is correct. This is a first for me, a first one out of sorts for me, where it's not that it's never been done in Survivor Press before, but certainly the first time I've done it where I have interviewed a contestant who is still actively on the show. And in this case, that would be Mr. Christian Hubicki, who joined me on THR for a little back and forth over email to talk about the first 6 days of the game, the events of the first two episodes so far, from his perspective, to kind of narrate us through his perspective of what happened in the Jessica vote, what life had been like out there on the David camp, while the weather
camp
had been
David.
As Camp David, indeed, in the bunker that Pat built. I guess it's not really a bunker if it's, it was pretty high up, so it was more like a treehouse. But anyway, I digress. Talk to Christian. And this was great. I really enjoyed this. I really liked this idea, and hopefully it's something that we're actually going to be doing, if not quite weekly, then close to it is certainly my goal. You can check it out, thr.com/survivor. It's going to be the top story there. It's my pinned tweet in my profile. Shout out to @RoundHoward that you can get to this interview with Christian, where he's just talking about these first few days from his perspective. And I think that it's I like it because this is it's sort of it's exit interview-esque, but with somebody who's still there. And we're really honing in on just the moment, everything that has happened up until the moment that we have seen in the show thus far. And to me, the way that a lot of the great dramas are covered in my line of work is it's not always that you're talking to the character who bit the dust on a given episode of television, on a given week of television, but you want to talk to somebody who had eyes on sort of the really big moment of the week. And that was sort of my pitch on this, that I think it would be really interesting and additive to the Survivor discourse to bring in the people who are still playing week to week. And I look forward to the week where I speak to somebody who then gets gets voted out 2 days later and is all over the exit press. I hope that day comes. I think that that would be very funny, because I have no idea how this will play out. But I really loved talking to Christian. I think that he set a really great tone here with a lot of really great information in this first article.
Okay, so, of course, everybody, you should check this out. Go to thr.com/survivor or follow Josh on Twitter at Round Howard. But what were some of the takeaways that you got from your conversation with Christian?
Well, I think that the way that he broke down the vote was rather compelling for me, where, you know, Christian all but confirms that Nick really was in trouble in those first few days of the game, that Pat's evacuation really did shake things up quite a bit. And Christian found himself in the position of being told where to vote rather than being included in the vote planning, that he really wanted to work with Jess. And that just wasn't really materializing, because every time he would try to say that to her, she would kind of just be like, yeah, that sounds good. You know, kind of low enthusiastic responses. And he had already been thinking in his mind of making a move against somebody like Jess if the numbers were there, right when Elizabeth basically comes to him and has made this pitch already to Gabby. He gives full credit to Elizabeth. He says that Elizabeth was the one who thought to turn the crank, a crank I didn't realize was there, after they had all independently been putting the machinery in place for this move without knowing, without talking with each other. So I think just the way that he broke down the vote was really, really insightful to me. And he also talked a lot about how the weather informed the strategy. I thought that he had a great way of describing what it's like to just be dumped on in that rain that they were dealing with, and how it impacts strategy as well. This is a quote from Christian where he says, "Practically speaking, the strategic flow of the game is intrinsically tied to the weather. When it's sunny, you can walk all over the place and pull people aside for quick chats. That allows for more fluidity so the target can change. When it's storming, the game largely freezes in place. Thankfully, we finally got some sun on day 6, which allowed for the craziness you saw. Here's a provocative hypothesis to leave you with. If we got hit with another storm before Tribal, Jess likely would have survived the night." So I thought that that was fascinating, this idea that if they had been, subjected to another storm and were just landlocked inside of their shelter, there probably would not have been the opportunity for the right people to get together and talk about coming up with this counter plan to knock out Jess instead of Lyrsa. Just goes to show the flesh and blood stakes of Survivor can have this huge impact on the way the game goes.
Yeah, I think that that is something that, we've talked about, where if you can't get out of the shelter, it's very hard to have those conversations. And when everybody is huddled together, probably there's more of a chance of things staying put. I also liked how he had said to you earlier in the interview about how part of the reason why he felt that way of going to keep Lyrsa and being on board to get rid of Jessica was that he felt like that it would give him more agency in the future direction of the tribe with that group that was voting against Jessica, because with a swap potentially nowhere in sight, and he talked about that at tribal council, that he would have more say in the direction of the tribe if they went to more tribal councils.
Right. Yeah. He talks about once these conversations started happening, he says, suddenly I could see daylight in the political game. I think that the article is worth reading among the many reasons.
It really does paint a word picture.
You're supporting your friendly neighborhood wiggler, so I would appreciate the clicks. But beyond that, I think to read the way he writes, it really does. It does let you know why this guy is getting as much airtime as he is. He's got away with words. I think that the way that he's describing Survivor, for my sensibilities at the very least, your mileage may vary, but for me, I just love the way this guy talks about Survivor. So I recommend the read.
Okay, Josh, you, I know for a fact, are also a fan of the new alliance that Christian formed this week, the alliance with Nick Wilson.
I like Mason Dixon.
I'm
team Mason Dixon. I don't care so much about the Mason Dixon line. I don't care about that being the origin. I just love the idea of these as like, they're like spy versus spy code names for each other. I love the idea of like Christian as Detective Mason and Nick as Detective Dixon. And these are these two like Lethal Weapon style buddy cops who are here to ravage Survivor. I think that just like the idea of like these two disgruntled members of the force who've got their backs to each other and they got a team together to get rid of all the other people who are coming after them. Mason Dixon. I like it. I think it's good.
Okay. I'm just trying to follow where this interpretation of Mason Dixon is coming from. So you see them as some sort of like 80s cop drama
That's what I want.
And the other is Dixon, and they are teamed together as partners on the force of Mason Dixon.
Opposites attract. They would in another world they would have been rivals, and in this world circumstances forced Mason Dixon together, and it's one last job that Dixon's got to do before he gets to retire to Kentucky forever, and Mason just wants to be left alone to build his robots, and here they are being forced to work together, Mason Dixon.
So who's the good cop and who's the bad cop?
I think they're both like decent cops.
They're both decent cops. Who does things by the book and who does things their own way?
I think that that's the problem. I think that that Mason is sort of like this outside the box, comes up with all of these kooky, scientifically driven theories and hypotheses to test out. And Dixon is he knows the law. He's studied the law. So he's sort of he's law and the other guy is disorder.
And which one is which?
Christian is Mason and Nick is Dixon.
Okay.
I believe that's how it works.
Where is Christian from?
He's from Maryland.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. And if you didn't know, Nick is from Kentucky.
Kentucky.
Yes.
From Kentucky. Okay. Yeah. And Stephen and JT really have become somehow more iconic of a duo than, like, I don't remember anybody talking about in Survivor, 19, 21, 22. Nobody was talking about Stephen and JT. Here we are in the 30s. Now Stephen and JT is talked about a lot.
A lot. Yeah, you're hearing a lot of Steven and JT, and he's never going to listen to this, obviously. How did you feel about the Steven is a genius thing? Like, was it not your favorite?
I didn't mind it. I mean, I think that my favorite part about that was that what Nick actually said was
Emma and Steven's like a genius.
Steven is like a genius.
Like a genius.
Not
like a genius.
Actually a genius, but like a genius.
So he's like somebody who is he close to being a genius, or is he like somebody who is pretending to be a genius?
I'm sure, Nick, knowing the tiniest bit about Nick, I would say that I would imagine that he meant that highly complimentary. He was not shading Stephen Fishback.
I feel like Mason Dixon, they got their first case. They gotta bust the case wide open. Is Fishback really a genius or a fraud? Hire Mason Dixon, detectives of the law for hire and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm working on it.
All right. So now Mason Dixon is a law firm.
They moonlight as detectives and they have a law office as well. And there's a robot creating a factory test room. In the back room, you have to pull a book, and then like the bookcase, it swivels around, and then you go in, and there's like all of, like the smoke from all of the zany experiments that that Mason is doing back there.
Okay, Josh, let's talk
a little bit
about what's going on the Goliath tribe, and I'd love to get your take on Napalm Natalie.
First of all, it was incredible at the live know-it-alls as Bryce was just going off about Grandma Natalie.
He killed it.
He killed it. I had a Grandma Natalie. My father's mother was Natalie. I only knew her for 3 years of my life, but I'm told that I loved her. So I love the idea of there being a Grandma Natalie out here on Survivor. I think is phenomenal. I thought that the whole Napalm Natalie sequence was a delight. A delight! It was incredible. Everything about it was tremendous, from boogers in the teeth to you're all acting like a bunch of Davids. It's just tremendous. Mm-hmm. The confrontation with Jeremy. And once again, I think just the creativity that's being applied to the storytelling this season has just been so wonderful. And in this moment, it's not unlike how an idol find is often portrayed, where like you hear the music and you know that this moment of heroism is coming. And so when Jeremy pulls Natalie aside and just sort of like the initial tone of the conversation is kind of rough, and then like the music comes in, and when he's like, I'm black, we've got a kinship, I want to look out for you, mm-hmm. and I'm trying to tell you your truth, like all of this stuff, and then it just like takes that hard turn back into Napalm Natalie, like you expect it to go well and then it goes so poorly. The whole sequence was so much fun, and I'm so happy that Natalie Cole is a part of this season. She has just really, really delivered the goods so far. And Jeremy as well. I thought that Jeremy talking about how she's been married for 24 years, somebody loves her the way she is and she's not going to change, was just an excellent confessional. I'm loving Goliath. I think that the Goliath Beach is a very fun time here on Survivor.
Yeah, they've been a fun group. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they go to Tribal Council. Josh, do you think Natalie will be the person voted out if this group goes to Tribal Council?
I hope not. I do feel like that's very easy to imagine Napalm Natalie being extinguished as the first vote here. And I think if she really does have somebody like John in her corner, who suggests that he really wants to bring some napalm into Slamtown, like he wants to work with her, he thinks nobody would expect it, no one would see it coming, if that wasn't just lip service to kind of embark us on this incredible sequence, then maybe she is a little bit more hooked in than we are being led to believe on the show. I don't know who the first would be in that case, if it's not her. I mean, the show kind of wants us to think that she and Mike are the ones in trouble. Doesn't look like Jeremy necessarily has a tight group that he's hanging out with, so I could see him being in some possible danger as well, as much as I'd hate to lose him so early on. And then the other person who's just completely unaccounted for is Dr. Allison. Like, there's just, you know, aside from her relationship with the Wave, we don't really know exactly where she's landing.
She got knocked down.
She did get knocked down.
Jeremy was having some problems with the Wave too.
Yes, she
didn't get knocked down. Jeremy was down. He could not get up. And Dr. Allison just got splashed and got wet.
It was bad. It was bad. It was a tough fight with the Wave. Jeff Probst handled it with a lot more grace many years ago. So we just don't know where those four people are at. So it's a little hard to say. And then there's the whole matter of, could Dan get blindsided with an idol in his coat, especially with the way that he seems to be rubbing people the wrong way with the Kara showmance. I'm team Kara, not Kara, by the way. Pretty sure it's Kara.
Yeah.
I think it's Kara. I think we can move on from Kara. I think that is the name of the dog and the superhero. I feel like we're probably of that sixsome, he would be the person that I'd be looking to lose first would be Dan. So I think that it's going to be someone from that group. It's going to be Dan, Natalie, Mike, or Jeremy would be the four that I'm looking on at Goliath, which is almost half the tribe, and that means I'm not ready to make any kind of decisions.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem for Natalie, though, right now, is that you have people in the group of six, which we saw the women talking about, okay, we should get this group together, but we didn't see actually the group formed. Like, we didn't see the six of them talking or anything like that. So we don't know exactly if that's going to be a thing, but that was at least the name that they were saying. But then also you have people who are not in the six, like Jeremy talking about how that if they go to Tribal Council, he wants to make sure, he's going to go into turbo mode of trying to make sure that Natalie is the person that goes home. So the best thing in Natalie's case is it might be that they just keep avoiding Tribal Council, but if they do go, I just don't see that daylight for her yet.
I do think, though, that the daylight could be what you just sketched out, which is Goliath just doesn't go to Tribal Council anytime soon. Mm-hmm. I think that there's really no strong reason to bet against them right now, unless the next immunity challenge is literally just another slide puzzle and that's it. And then in which case, lock it up for David. But I think that it was a funny moment on the show from Lyrsa, who I'm so glad that Lyrsa survives another week. She's just tremendous as well. When she's talking about, they're so big. They're too, it's sometimes it's unfair. The size differential between them, it really is kind of staggering. So if it's another like largely physical challenge, which you often imagine that it's going to be with the puzzle at the end, I still really like Goliath's shot to make it through. So if I were to place a bet on which tribe is going to tribal council, I would imagine that David is going to see tribal for a second time.
Josh, for this season to totally work thematically, does the David tribe need to be decimated?
Like completely?
Almost. I mean, get down to a couple of people coming into the merge facing a big Goliath advantage.
I don't think that's the only way for it to work, but that's certainly a way for it to work. But then if they just like get completely extinguished by the end and it's just like five Goliaths at the end, it's kind of like that's a swing and a miss.
Hey,
the rock did not connect.
The story is that the Goliaths are winners.
I guess so.
They win.
I guess if it's like, you know, if you're really Team Goliath in terms of the thematic battle, then you're going to walk away.
We told you, episode one, Goliaths are used to winning.
Yeah.
They win.
But I kind of like the, I sort of like the Goliaths within Goliath narrative that is starting to bubble up.
Tell me more about that.
Well, when Angelina and Natalia and Kara are talking and they're like, the three of us, we're the three and we're going to string these stupid little boys around and we're going to be totally fine. And we're like the Goliaths of strategy within this group. Like we're the real giants at the heart of this tribe. I'm enjoying that. I think Wendell was the guy who was saying, I really want to see that happen throughout the season. He really wants those three to be able to work their magic on these guys. I think it would be fun to watch that happen for a while. I do think ultimately I am just identifying more and rooting for the people who are on David, especially the people who just pulled off that move, for those guys to be the ones that really push through closer to the end of the season. But as far as Goliath, I really do think that that narrative is really fun. I think that that would be a fun arc to follow throughout the season.
Are you feeling like back at that David tribe that if they go to another tribal council, that B is probably the most likely person to go home there?
Yeah, I think so. I think B is probably in trouble just because of the way that she was so closely associated with Jess in that moment. But the other thing is, I wouldn't be shocked if it's tough. It's tough to talk about. I wouldn't be surprised if the Reaper did come for Lyrsa next. If that was the name that was brought up next, if David were to go back to Tribal Council, just because that five has the power right now, that doesn't necessarily have to be the way. And I know that it.
Excuse me.
That was horrifying. That was a little surprising. It was very loud. Unexpected. But the way that like Christian was talking in the preseason about his approach to Survivor was really wanting things to get shaken up a lot for power structures to constantly be changing. So just because this is the structure of the vote right now, it might not be the structure of the vote for long. I think that good money would be placed on either B or Carl going home next. But I wouldn't rule out some sort of flip of even this current five of turning against each other in some capacity next.
Josh, overall through two episodes of this season, where are you at in terms of your overall enjoyment of David versus Goliath?
I'm loving it. I'm really happy Survivor is back. I'm really enjoying this season so far. It's only two episodes and there's so much time for everything to go off the rails, potentially in the best way, but potentially in the worst ways too. It's hard to declare how a season's going to be when you're only two episodes into it. But something just feels different, right? Like something feels different. There's just I think I'm trying to remember who said this on Twitter. I think it may have been Dom Harvey who mentioned, like, beyond everything else, it's just so refreshing to see Survivor being so fun. Like, it just feels really fun. There's just like this uppercut quality about the season that's happening right now that's so enjoyable to watch, which is a crazy thing to say when the first episode ended in a harrowing, horrible medical evacuation. I think like the events of that notwithstanding, I think that the pacing of the season, the way that the story is being folded together, the people who are driving the story forward almost to a person, everybody is just very compelling and super fun to watch and plenty of people to root for. Really great narrators. I'm thrilled. I'm really enjoying David versus Goliath through two episodes so far.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the first hour of the premiere, and then we had a lot of fun characters that were introduced, and then I thought this was a really good follow-up episode where we had a lot of fun moments and then also a very interesting vote. So there's not much more you could ask for.
I'd been waiting for this tribal council for a long time. I'd really been excited to see what was going to happen. You know, there was no vote when I was out there. So I've been waiting months and months and months and months and months to see what that next move would be. And the second episode, you know, the second 3 days of the season that I missed out on, were just tremendous. I'm thrilled. I'm really happy with where the season is at right now. More like this, please.
Okay. All right. Josh, anything else you want to say about this week's Survivor?
No, I want to get to the Londoffs.
Okay. All right. So let's start to switch gears and head over to the Wandoff. And so welcome to all of you who are skipping ahead, and farewell to all of you who are leaving us behind. But before we get to the Wandoff, let me take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. The Wandoff is sponsored by Lisa Mattress, not Lisa Kiefer, Josh. Lisa Mattress, L-E-E-S-A. Josh, have you found yourself distracted, forgetting things, making mistakes at work?
Yes, more than I'd care to admit.
Yeah, well, maybe it's a quality night's sleep that makes all the difference. The survivors could tell you that. And the right mattress is the difference between resting and just laying down. The Lisa mattress is the product of more than 30 years of experience in mattress engineering and hundreds of hours of testing, comprised of three foam layers that provide cooling, pressure relief, body contouring, and support. Over 300,000 happy Lisa sleepers agree the Lisa mattress gives them the rest they need. Order your Lisa mattress at lisa.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP and try it risk-free for 100 nights. It ships direct to your door in a convenient box with free shipping and free returns. Find the right mattress for you at lisa.com/RHAP to get the rest you need tonight. Get up to $160 off the Lisa mattress or $235 off the luxury Sapira mattress and free shipping on Lisa mattress. Mattresses at lisa.com/RHAP. Enter promo code RHAP at checkout. That's Lisa, LEESA.com/RHAP with promo code RHAP. Wow. You know, I bet.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah, it's nice. Now, I bet that somebody like Pat has to be very careful about what kind of mattress he's sleeping on these days.
So you're saying that Pat should invest in a Lisa mattress?
I think that probably. I mean, did he tell you anything about this? Does he have to change up any of his routines?
No, he seemed like, you know, he was doing physical therapy and stuff, but he seemed like by.
Stop right there! You wanna know right now? Before you go any further, this is Wanda, and you're in my arena. If you need to, you can straight up leave here. It would make me so happy for the rest of my life if you'd shut the shirk up and just eat your damn rice. It's the Wandoff. It's the Wandoff forever. If you need to, you can straight up leave here, but it'll make you so happy for the rest of your life if you turn the songs up and turn out to be nice. You wanna know right now before you go any further? It's the Wandoff. It'll be here forever.
Yes, the Wandoff is back, Josh.
Week two of the Wandoffs, and I'm so excited to be here.
What is that song?
It's a song that I just made up. I've got less social anxiety when it's just me and a microphone and a computer. Oh my God. I'm thrilled. I'm pumped. I'm so happy. Got a lot of love from people about the Wandoffs at the live know-it-alls. And as much joy as we bring to you, you bring so much joy to us. So, as she sings, the Wandoff will be here forever.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're talking about joy that I had my kids are very pumped up about Halloween. And I've tried to tell them that, okay, well, when you guys go out and trick or treat, I'll eat all the good candy and you guys can have all the stuff that I don't want.
And how do they feel about that?
It's like, no, they get very upset about it. But we were looking at pictures of candy on YouTube, and I was showing them different candy bars. I said, okay, the Reese's, that's going to be for me. The Snickers, that's going to be for me.
And the Almond Joys.
Well, that's what I said. I said, and Almond Joy, that's for me. And Dominic has not heard of this candy bar before. He's like, I'll enjoy the Snickers bar. I'm like, no. Almond Joy, that's for me. And he's like, yeah, and I'll enjoy the Snickers bar. I'm like, no, it's called an Almond Joy.
Oh my gosh. I'll enjoy that memory that I will always have when thinking about Almond Joys. Not a sponsor of the Wanda yet. Not yet. We're working on that.
All right. Well, let's talk about last week's wand off, because we had a fiercely competitive week one of the wand off back last week. And very excited to reveal the test results from week one of the wand off. Of course, all of this is compiled by the tabulator, Kurt Clark. Great to see Kurt in New York this week.
Fantastic. Yes. I'm a big fan. We got some pizza. It was great.
All right. In third place last week, it was a wand off standout, Alex G, with third place, 16.8% of the vote, with A Season for You, an anthem for Pat Cusack.
Love it.
In second place, with 18.2% of the vote, it was Jeremy B with one I know you enjoyed, Fell on a Boat.
I did really like that one. That was great. Really good Andy Samberg impression.
But it is probably a little surprise for people that follow the wand off closely. A lot of hype last week with this week's winner. It was another person we saw this week in New York City. Congratulations to Corey B, the winner of week one in the wand off for Pat's Tweaked Back Is All Right.
Everybody, ease your mind tonight.
So congratulations. Another hat is on the way for Corey B. Gosh. Corey B, don't set it on fire, okay?
Please don't. Please don't set it on fire. That is a lyrical genius. Pat's Tweaked Back's All Right is just like the kind of stuff that we're always looking for here in the Wand Off. Great to meet Corey B in person at the live Know-It-Alls. I met him twice. Once without his Wombats hat on, and I had no idea who he was. And then as soon as he had the Wombats hat on, I was like, I recognize you. It was a great, great moment. Loved Corey B. Loved meeting Corey B. Does he get a second hat? Do we want to like come up with like a new thing to give to people who win second hats? Is that something I should be looking into?
Right. I was thinking about this myself earlier, and I wondered, should there be some sort of like a golden Wombats hat for when you win a second one? Or should we have,
you know,
like
the last time I ordered a bunch of Wombat hats, I got this black trucker wombat hat. They give you like one like weird freaky bonus hat, just like to be like, in case you want to get another set of hats, here's a different design you could have. So I got like this black trucker hat with the same font of Wiggler's Wombats in orange. It's not bad. I could take a picture with it if we wanted to like make some of those up as like second wave Wombats hats.
Mm-hmm. And I also just want to rescind my opinion that the Wombat's hat is bad, because while I don't think that from a design element, it's the most exciting hat, I think that my take was always, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Now, when I see it, it reminds me of the wand off and of you and of all the fun that we had. So now I have come to embrace the Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Best hat ever.
I mean, I don't think it should be set on fire.
You know what? I really don't want to get into the Dr. Mike stuff too much. But if you follow him on any of his social media, you will see that he has tried to escalate this feud by setting a Wombat's hat on fire. He had his poor, wonderful wife film him setting his hat on fire that I gave to him when I went down to Florida for a wedding earlier this year. And I thought that was very disrespectful. The big reason why I thought it was very disrespectful is that the Wombats hats, as you may remember from the backstory, they being the Wigglers Wombats being my softball team when I was a summer camp counselor, they were designed for my bachelor party by my very, very, very good friend. My best friend since I was 2 years old, Rob. His name is Ben. Mm-hmm. He's the designer of the Wigglers Wombats hat. And Ben and his brother Daniel, who are recent Survivor converts, started watching the show and started getting really into it with Survivor season 35, and we're huge fans of Dr. Mike, to the point that I brought both of them to the season 35 finale. You met them there. They were with me on the red carpet. I essentially let them interview Dr. Mike. I barely said a word to him, and they were just fanning out all over him. It was just this incredible moment. It was like their dream come true. That was the night where the red carpet, like the tent that we were under, was like shaking and rattling because the storm was happening. There was the blackout and everything. It was very, very scary. And Ben and Daniel both said to a very shaken Dr. Mike, if anything happens, don't worry. We'll protect you. We'll cover you. We'll let ourselves die so that you may live. And then Dr. Mike goes ahead and burns the hat that Ben designed. Super disrespectful, really uncool, and I think a real mark against this man's character. This is the most you're going to get out of me in terms of there being any kind of feud with Dr. Mike.
Okay.
There will be no video, but I am insulted on my friend's behalf.
All right. Well, we'll save this for another time.
Very dirty.
We'll take it to some sort of Survivor People's Court.
No, I'm not going to press charges. I'm done with this. Okay. I just want everybody to know what kind of a scumbag they're dealing with Dr. Mike.
All right. Let's get back to something that
back on track. Back to joy.
I'll enjoy
the Wanda. Yes.
Wanda.
I'll not enjoy Dr. Mike burning my hat.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Do you want to walk that back at all of calling Dr. Mike a scumbag or?
No, I don't really want to walk that back even a little bit. There's nothing to walk back.
All right.
Let's proceed forward.
Let's welcome in.
Carry on.
I also want to thank Randy Neupel and Jason Curtis Rivera for their hard work as well. Bringing you the wand up every week. Randy does a great job of this first pass of listening to all this stuff. And Jason Curtis Rivera does a great job of bringing you videos to the finalists every week in the wand off.
Super talented guy. He had all the videos up by the time, I think even before the Wiggle Room was posted. So he's incredible.
Yes. And also our own Alex Rubino is posting all of the Wandoff finalists to our Robin's Podcast Wiki as well. If anybody wants to go back in time and see everything that has been submitted to the Wandoff in the past. But let's go ahead and bring in the great host of the Wandoff, and that is the late, great Casey Casey. Them.
Rob, it is a pleasure to be here. And Josh, you better believe it that I would never ever. Hades himself has tried to burn the Wiggler's Wombat's hat, and I say no dice.
That is why your Force Ghost powers are always being put to such good use, Casey. I'm sorry that I missed you at the live know-it-alls last week. I couldn't make it to the after party, but everybody, all the pictures with you were empty. You didn't show up in any of them, but I'm sure that they had a great time meeting you.
All right, let's get to this week's honorable mentions, and we'll start with one that comes to us from Jillian from Tucson. Has a song about this new alliance from Christian.
You were rocking a sweet robot shirt and pink sweater. When I met you, you planned it out and saved the day with side puzzle ace. It was really cool.
That was a classic number from the Yao Man League.
At first, I didn't think there were going to be any lyrics other than just the wah-wah part. And I just imagined, like, was this about Christian and Gabby, Christian and Nick? I just imagine them like the Mason Dixons dancing at each other as this wonderful music is playing underneath. That's what's happening in my fanfic that I'm going to write.
It was the best part.
Yeah.
For sure. All right. number two this week in honorable mentions is from Amanda, who wants to talk about the way that the David tribe decided this week to vote. Always have to get in some classics from Billy Joel Klug.
Yes. Billy Joel Truck 108.
Josh, it's been a minute since we've heard from this person from Down Under. We want to welcome back for the first time in David versus Goliath, Lyndall from Australia.
Oh, God, yes!
Who has a song about one of the Davids, Carl Boudreau.
Ooh!
I long to feel the sun on purple hair. We bonded over rain and pat. I thought you cared, but now I hear you're trying to start war. Boudreau, is it me you're voting for? I can see right through your lies. I'm not the weakest on this tribe. Excuse me, I'm not going home in. Instead, I'm planning a blindside. I know that we're both Daves, and you're down on your luck too. But I want to tell you so much. F*** you.
That was a beautiful song from Lionel Richard Hatch.
Oh man, I am definitely gonna have Boudreau stuck in my head for a good little while. Pretty much any time Carl of Beer is on screen, Boudreau. That's perfect. That's wonderful. That's great. I'm a fan.
Next up, we have a dynamic songwriting duo who are back together in the studio. It's Aaron Robertson and Jordan Kalish. And Jordan and Aaron want to talk to you about the women of the Goliath tribe.
Alec is my baby bro. Johnny Blaze is my sexy showman. I can own the mayor's vote. But look around, alliances are happening in slam time.
Slam time.
It isn't hard to seduce a hot cop.
He thinks I'm Supergirl.
Black widows are here in Fiji.
Take dance idol for a whirl.
Look around, look around. Angelina has what you are looking for.
A maturity.
Kara, we're looking to control the vote. We're looking to control the vote. We're looking to control the vote.
Wow, what a symphony.
It says here in my notes that was from Hamilton or something.
Well, I know that I'm going to lose so many points that I still haven't really done the Hamilton thing, aside from Darnell Hamilton, which I have listened to about 1,000 times in order to get that one right. I did meet Aaron after a post-army crawl, he army crawled on stage at the live note. I told him, ditch the kangaroo. You're good on your own. You're fine. You're fine. You're beautiful. You're great. It also took me a minute to figure out what the first lyric of this song was. Took me a minute to realize that they were talking about Angelina. And what I thought it was, I shan't repeat.
Okay. All right. Next up in the honorable mentions, this is one from the Nick That Sucks, who wants to talk about another standout from the Goliath tribe, Natalie.
Hello, Casey, Josh, and Wanda. Here I am out on Survivor. Camp is very entertaining. And they say we'll have a show if it stops raining. All my tribemates love each other. Some of them might love one another.
It's really childish.
When they're working, I don't bother. But they love me and obey me like their mother.
I think it's working out.
Some are worried I don't fit in.
Oh, well.
But I told everyone I'm not threatening.
Is that all?
Social bonding has no bearing. Without me, who'd do the lurking and the glaring? Oh, dear Jeremy, that's a skew.
No, I'm not doing that.
I know they like me. Because I do.
Because I do.
My self-awareness could not be better.
Excuse me?
Josh and Casey kindly disregard his letter.
I ain't getting paid for this.
Too bad.
Lots of great Natalie quotes there from Alan Ball Sherman.
I can't believe it's taken us until season 3 of The Wand Off to get Hello Mudda, Hello Fada in here. That feels like that was obvious and just ripe for the picking, and it was perfect. I'm thrilled. That was wonderful.
In fairness, I think we might have gotten it several times from Shut Up Tim.
Boo!
Can't no. say without certainty that he hasn't already done that one.
Where? Well, then does that? Well, I guess I would explain why this one's not in the top five. Be cute. That would do it. That would do it. Shut up, Tim, being very quiet. Speak up, Tim. I'd love to hear from you.
Josh, we've got some more Natalie songs coming up. Here's one from Scott from Detroit.
You thought you were loved by your whole tribe, so we know you were surprised when Slamtown pulled old girl aside and said that nobody likes you. But if you convince them you're a goat, you can get brought to the end and not get a single vote. That's called Stephen Fish back upside. Keep staring, keep glaring, grump around Goliath Beach some more. And for sure, you'll have just 3 days more. No grinning, no winning, unless that napalm's strong, you'll see the door. In only 3 days more.
That was a beautiful song from Double Dionne Warwick.
Missed opportunity to say no spinning, no grinning, but other than that.
And a Katrina Radke keeps shining.
Indeed.
And last but not least, we've got a Wandoff star in the making in Dental Dave, who is a real life dentist who was very concerned about the oral hygiene of these castaways. Here's Dental Dave.
Some rider, be the survivor version of Johnny Mac. So sorry at Brown Howard, I won't speak of Big Brother, I'm a Wanda. But
But is a Big Brother reference any worse than Rob making a mashup?
No!
No toothbrush, no paste, dental floss, or mouthwash. I'm in fear for these teeth. I'm in fear for these teeth. On the island, all these people are gonna end up like Don Meehan. Oh no, no, oh, no, no, no.
That was a big hit from the late 90s for the Jerv.
Wait, the boogers and the teeth are going to cause them to lose their teeth? Like Don Meehan?
I believe he said it was the lack of floss which was going to result in losing the teeth.
Well, I mean, you definitely should floss every day. It's definitely true. But I was it was very alarming that some of these people out there with their boogers in their teeth could potentially lose their teeth out there because of that very reason. That just seemed like very extreme to me.
Josh, were you offended by Dental Dave's mention of Big Brother star Johnny Mac?
No, I believe I had heard a little bit of Johnny Mac on a Taran Show interview, so I actually knew a little bit about the dentist. I know a tiny bit more about the Big Brother than I let on, just a little bit.
Because there are some listeners that might even hate Big Brother more than Josh Wigler.
Ooh.
We've got a long distance dedication that just came in to my email from one of our listeners, Ben. He writes,
is it my friend who created the Wombat's hat?
Maybe. He writes, the Big Brother stuff is brutal, but you're still awesome. The most likable thing Kim Spradlin ever did was when she came to Alive Know-It-Alls and made some comment that she wouldn't touch Big Brother with a 10-foot pole. Stein began stating that the podcast would be Big Brother free. So much for that. Can you bring a real anti-Big Brother survivor on the pod to give a refreshing spark to the audience that is sick of Big Brother?
It's a very intense, strongly worded email.
Got that email during the recording of this podcast.
Wow. Oh, man. You know, I even listened to the post-credit scene with Eric. I was really taken with him because I've never really heard him before. I thought he knew his survivorship pretty well.
We get a lot of feedback.
Yeah. It seems a little extreme.
Josh, are you ready for the top five Wandoff songs in the country?
Let's do it. Let's go.
All right. We kick off this week with one that is very timely. Josh, have you gotten out to see A Star Is Born or are you at Venom this weekend?
Oh, I have not seen A Star Is Born yet. I think that I have a chance at convincing my wife, who famously does not love going to the movies, to go and see that one with me. I have acquired my tickets for Venom and I shall be seeing it on Wednesday, and I'm very excited about that. I hear it's a disaster. And I can't wait.
Just be what the Lady Gaga fans want you to think.
Well, I'll report back. On
according to one internet conspiracy theory. Here's
what I've heard.
Nicholas P. along with Riley B. Hope I'm saying that right.
Big Bang Theory.
Hello, my name's Christian.
Do you wanna play with me?
Are you referring to sand?
No, I'm whispering my nerdy plan.
Let's align. Platonically?
Yeah.
That sounds fine.
It's not an easy fight.
And in the bad times, I fear Mike White.
Y'all need a lawyer. I have a nickname. Mason Dixon. You build the robots to shoulder Goliaths. Baby, it's our time. Big Bang Theory. Play with me. Hyperphonetic personality.
performance by Neat Lady Gaga and Bradley Clygie Cooper, a.k.a. Bradley the Chicken Has Flown the Cooper.
The Cooper. Damn! Damn! Oh my goodness. All
very right, well, topical.
I can't wait for the inevitable Venom inspired. I mean, when you were setting me up with all that, I was like, is someone going to be sending in a wand off about Venom?
No.
Is that what's happening? Oh my God. You just have to like mumble through it Tom Hardy style, however, whichever song you pick. I look forward to it.
Next up is our number two wand off song in the country. Here is our good friend Adam B, who has a song about Natalie.
Your social game, Natalie, like Russell Hands without the strategy, repelling allies like Philip Small Pink Briefs, menacing glares at camp like one Matt Bonnard felt.
Yikes.
You say you're like Kim Spradlin. I'd say more like Nyanka, yeah. You're so high, 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 so uptight. Maybe try to run both legs, or you'll end up tossed like that at sea.
That was another hit for Tal Fishbackman.
Wow. I need you to send me the MP3 so I can just rock out to that as I'm doing household chores. That was spectacular. That was phenomenal. Very grooving. That was great. Big fan.
Next up, we have somebody who was a finalist last week. Can they claim the wand off gold here with our number three song? And it's all about Mr. Mike White.
David versus Goliath.
It's been a really, really messed up week. 7 days of downpour, 7 days of cyclones, and they voted out Jessica Pete. Being Carl on her mind, Mason Dixon had to get her. La, 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 the Davids. La, 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 lose every challenge. La, 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 oh well. La, la, la. Let's talk about Mike White. Mike White. Hoisted by his own petard, but now he's in an alliance. Mike White. Mike White. Now he's learning all the secrets of the Goliath tribe. I don't know if he'll make it, but watch how good he'll fake it. It's Mike White. Mike White. All right. All right. Woke up with a movie plot about you. Not sure how I got it. There's an idol in Dan's pocket. Me and Jeremy are forming a crew. Mixed with the mayor of Slamtown. La, la, la. Natalie. La, la, la. Throwing some napalm. La, la, la. Oh, well. La, la, la. She's doing worse than Mike White. Mike White. Hoisted by his own petard, but now he's in an alliance. Mike White. Mike White. Now he's learning all the secrets of the Goliath tribe. I don't know if he'll make it, but watch how good he'll fake it. It's Mike White. Mike White. All right. All right.
That was another hit from the band Cute Not Hot Chelly Ray.
Great wand off so far. Oh my God. I never wanted to end.
We're glad that you're enjoying it.
I'm happy. I'll enjoy this wand off. I'll enjoy it for real.
Number four this week, you told Aaron Robertson to ditch the kangaroo, and he did just that.
Oh,
talking
man.
About the weather on this week's edition of Survivor.
I'm stuck here in the cyclone, the waves are going tidal. Can't really trust nobody, cause now I got this idol. Our roof was like a no-go, got rained on by the boatload. Now we got tarps and fire, and we be going loco. I'm stuck here in the cyclone, the waves are going tidal. Can't really trust nobody, cause now I got this idol. Our roof was like a no-go, got rained on by the boatload. Don't act like you don't know, I'm the king of fish and poles, though. Zombies dropped their payload, it was day 3rd, 4th, or 5th. Hey, Found a nettle wrapped around a branch, it was lit. Hey, come on, let's go, could this day be really better? Hey, ooh, that's authentic idol leather. Hey, I get my first octopus, I'm like, this is it. Hey, rain or shine, I will provide till the whole tribe is fed. Hey, ninja style up in here, gave the whole tribe the slip. Hey, searching for some food, and now I got the necklace. And I'm like, whoa, yesterday I was so cold. Thought my ending was foretold. Like frozen, I let it go. Not just a nerd, yeah, I'm a blurb. Yeah, I'm a crocodile bird. I'll always stand out from the herd. I'm stuck here in the cyclone, the waves are going tidal. Yeah, really just nobody, cause now I got this idol. Our roof was like a no-go, got brained on by the boatload. Don't act like you don't know, I'm the king of fishing poles, though.
What a great job there by Post-Merge Malone.
Wow. Aaron, see what happens? See what happens?
It's not just about army crawls.
Wow. Oh, my God. Two notes. One, Aaron sang about crocodiles, which reminded me that I missed the obvious joke earlier when I called Dr. Mike a scumbag that I hope he gets eaten by a crocodile. So let me just amend the fact now before I get yelled about it by someone on Twitter. Although at this point, probably somebody already heard that part. So if you've already tweeted that I missed the crocodile joke, please rescind the accusation at this point. The other thing is, I don't know if you've talked about this on any of the podcasts yet, but I saw Davey retweet somebody who had pointed out that Davey found the idol, he shoves the idol in his pants, and then the next thing you see is him taking the idol out and sniffing it so hard.
Like is, Mary Catherine Gallagher?
Yeah, it's like sometimes when he gets nervous, he puts his idol in his pants and he takes it out and he smells it like this! Amazing. This is incredible. Incredible. What a great season already. Two episodes in. Fantastic. Okay, we've got one more wand off.
We've got one more to go. Oh, only a top five this week. And we have another return to the top five by two people who have worked very closely with someone that you don't care for very much in the past.
In the moment, I don't care for him. Yeah.
Here is Jenny and Colin wanting to talk about the alliance between Christian and Gabby.
Christian Hubicki.
Do you want to play with me?
Play with me? On the scene?
No, do you want to play this game with me?
I know showmances are wrong, but I can't resist it. My algorithms ain't long, but you know what is. I know what a robot wants. I speak zeros and ones. I got genius level IQ scores, but with the ladies I'm lost. Women around the world, I don't speak their language, but with Gabby I don't need explaining. All I really need to understand is when she talks nerdy to me.
I'm a technical writer.
Talk nerdy to me.
Which means that I write documentation for software.
Oh no. Met a girl in Fijio. She said play with me, oh.
Tres.
Here's my girl Gabio.
Cuatro.
Two brains. You're no Steven, close to genius. I'm no Dr. Mike, but I'll inspect your penis. And my Lena with your Mason dicks.
Dicks.
Brain to brain, kick out Nick.
Nick.
A love equation is so complex. Every puzzle solved, we pose a threat. Vote as just do what you expect. I'm a David on beach, but Goliath in bed. Anyway, every day we're gonna get through it. Gonna go to the end with this geek cutie. Anyway, every day we're gonna get through it. Gonna go to the end with this geek cutie.
I feel like Kristen and I are
smoking hot and ridiculously sexy.
I don't know what that was in context about.
What a surprise ending! We just got Shyamalan'd. Oh, what a twist! What a twist!
That was a hit single for Kyle Jason Derulo.
Oh God! What a wand off! Oh my God! What a wand off! What a great week of the wand off that we just enjoyed. How are you guys going to choose? I have zero idea.
You can cast your vote for this week's winner of the wand off when you go to robhasawebsite.com/vote. Wanda, the polls are open till Friday of this week, and then Josh Wiggler, Rob Cesternino, and myself will be back to announce the winner next week.
Oh my God, Casey, thank you.
Casey, don't forget about the playlist for the patrons. That's right. Oh, yeah. Almost forgot. You can also get all of the Wandoff tracks for the week. Every week we've got a lot of good stuff that just can't make the cut because people don't want a 9-hour wiggle room. And so you can listen to everything we get each week when you go to robisawebsite.com/patron. We'll post the SoundCloud list every Monday night.
Oh, my God. Wow. Wow. That was great. That was amazing. Wandoff is lit. This is incredible.
Just
this
like a Wiggler's Wombat's hat.
Ah, set it up. I set it up. I still love Dr. Mike. He's just being a little bit.
Hopefully he didn't rage turn off the podcast earlier in the show.
I'd be fine. I would live. I would be okay. I'd be all right if that happened. I could use a little distance. Would not be so bad. This was amazing. What a great time we are having here in the Wiggle Room this season. It's just two episodes in. It's a treat. It's a delight. It's spectacular. Rob, we got to figure out what we're going to do for the people who win multiple Wombats hats.
We're open to suggestions.
Open to suggestions. I heard from a decent contingent of people who don't know how to do music but still want a Wiggler's Wombats hat. I don't know how we want to do that, but I feel like there's a thing. I feel like it's a thing. I feel like some people want it. I don't know what you want to do about that, but I think some people want it.
We can talk about that of ways to do it, but I kind of feel like if you put a price tag on it and we sell I kind of feel like it diminishes the value.
I agree. So I don't know what the fix is here. We need to hear from the people, suggestions that they've got. Maybe we do like this is like a new season of Wombat's hats that are on the line and the old Wombat hat is retired. I don't know how you want to do it, but I heard from enough people. They want the Wombat hat. I just don't know what to do about it. I don't know how to do it.
Yeah. Okay. All right. And I'm just looking at my Twitter right now as we record the podcast. And then I see from Emmy on Twitter at Emmy Nekahad at Christian Hubicki is my hall pass.
Whoa.
I played that voicemail God. That there are a number of women that are out there that are and maybe some guys, too, that are find Christian extremely attractive.
Yeah. Christian. Woo. Hubicki. Yeah, people are in on the mad scientist.
They're in on it. Okay,
that's easy to call now, by the way. That should he survive long enough, he's the mad scientist for AJ Mass. That feels like that, right?
Sounds about right. Josh Wiggler, you got so much going on. You're at the New York Comic Con. What else can people find out about if they follow at Round Howard on Twitter?
A lot of Walking Dead going on right now in my neck of the woods, covering that for the THR. If you are a fan of such a show, or if you would just like to keep tabs on it from a distance, because it is a thing that still exists, and pretty soon Andrew Lincoln will not be a part of it, and that's kind of interesting. So that is a story that is being tracked along the way here. So covering that show quite a bit, and then the Survivor nonsense is happening as well. Would really appreciate if you guys checked out that interview with Christian. I would love to do more like that. That's really going to depend on the power of the people. So you can check that out. That's a pinned tweet at Round Howard. It's also the top story at thr.com/survivor. And then over at the post show recap.
It wouldn't kill anybody to retweet it either.
It would be nice. I'm really bad at the self-promotional thing. I just feel like a huckster and I don't really like doing it, but it would be nice. I think it helps keep the lights on for the Survivor coverage at THR. So if you're able to do it, that'd be fantastic. If not, no sweat. You're all good. Game of Thrones podcast coming back.
You just won't have it anymore. Okay. You guys will be fine. Really but if you like what Josh is doing, then you'll say, oh boy, I wish I would have, Josh was being very nice and sort of dancing around it. But we'll put a little bit more of a point on it.
Those are the stakes. I would appreciate the support if you like the stuff. As I was saying, Game of Thrones podcast coming back to Bullshit Recaps. We are recording that literally in like 20 minutes from now.
Yeah, we'll go right into that. So hopefully I won't bring up Dr. Mike on the Game of Thrones podcast.
Oh, he's the first thing to say.
Yeah. Also on Poster Recaps, I will be getting into the Better Call Saul finale with Antonio Mazzaro. Yeah. That's going to be airing on Monday night. I will talk with the birthday boy on Tuesday, and we will get into that. So be on the lookout for our Better Call Saul finale coverage as well on Poster Recaps. I've really enjoyed the back half of this Better Call Saul season.
Yeah, I am very excited to see how it all wraps up. I think it's going to be a delight. I'm very eager. I can't wait to listen to your podcast with Antonio.
I know I'll enjoy it.
I'll enjoy it too.
Yeah.
I'll enjoy it as well.
All right. Josh great. Wigler, great being back here with you. We will be back next Monday for more of the Wiggle Room. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Love to hear what we have to say on Twitter. I'm at Rob Sestrino. Josh is at Ron Howard. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Oh my gosh. Did you see that guy on Survivor? Tweak is back.
Oh, yeah, Pat.
Oh, yeah. Pat was back.
Everybody, ease your mind tonight. Cast Tweak's back. All right. In the boat, the storm's about. A David member's gonna hit the ground. Did I skip a scene or did it happen fast? Pat's potential feeling overcast. Well, can you show us how?
No.
Is travel coming now?
No.
His confessional.
No.
What you mean? How is Pat's back?
All right.
Oh, okay.